Well, consider what's in a typical real estate listing. There's the number of bedrooms, bathrooms, square footage, parking, and of course some information about the neighborhood, schools, nearby attractions and amenities, that sort of thing. But there's one Seattle-based company that wants to add an extra category. Walkability. Type in your address to walkscore.com, as the company is called, and up comes a number, ranging from somewhere between 0 to 100. That's the website's walkability estimate for your neighborhood, based on the address's proximity to restaurants, supermarkets, and schools. So even though we claim we're America's walking city, how does the Boston area really rank according to WalkScore? Joining us is the company's chief technical officer, Matt Lerner. Welcome to Radio Boston, Matt.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, so Matt, I got to tell you, as soon as our producer, Jessica Alpert, came up with this idea for us to talk to you, we all gathered around a computer and got obsessed with finding out what our walk scores for our own individual neighborhoods were. So I've got a little laptop here, and I'm going to type in one of our producer's addresses in walkscore.com. Okay, and it's a Union Square address in Somerville, and out comes a number. Looks like the walk score is 88 out of 100. So what does that mean?
So 88 means that the house is very walkable. It means that you have a lot of options when it comes to walking out the front door and going to restaurants and coffee shops. But it's not above 90, which means that everything is literally at your doorstep. So that house is doing great.
Okay, so how is it that you come about rating neighborhoods then? I mean, what qualifies as a 90? Or I've seen even higher numbers, like 95 being walker's paradise.
That's right. So anyone can go to walkscore.com and type in their address. And the way it works is that we look at the distance between your house to everything nearby that you might want to walk to. And based on those distances, we calculate a walk score. And as you said, it's really addictive because every house has its own walk score. And so people love to compare them and brag about them and show them off.
So it seems to me then that high walk scores, according to the algorithm that you use on the website, would be in really densely populated urban neighborhoods. Like the further you get away from an urban core, the lower your walk score would be.
There are tons of small towns that have high walk scores. My parents live in Lawrence, Kansas now, and downtown Lawrence has a walk score of 100. So it's really about the choices that are around you, you know, not whether you're living in a big city or a small city.
So Matt Lerner, so we're looking at a Somerville address on walkscore.com, but you've also on the website, you've ranked the top 40 neighborhoods in America for walkability. And I see that San Francisco ranks number one, particularly Chinatown, the financial district, and downtown San Francisco. Then New York City with Tribeca, Little Italy, and Soho. And Boston comes in number three with Back Bay, Beacon Hill, the South End, and the Fenway. I got to stand up for Beantown here and say that I think overall, not just those neighborhoods, but as a city overall, Boston is incredibly walkable. I mean, we do call ourselves the walking city. So, you know, when you look at it, take a broader perspective of entire cities, how do the nation's cities rank?
Boston is incredibly walkable. It's right up there with San Francisco and New York City. And, you know, what's great about Boston is it was primarily developed before the car was invented. So the streets were really designed for people. And you've got the great T system that everybody loves.
But walking, of course, isn't really the only way that people get around. I mean, most people, even if they do live in a walkable neighborhood, they eventually drive or they get on some form of transit or they've got a commute out to where they work. So how are you expanding walkscore.com to deal with these other means of transportation that we all have to deal with?
Yesterday on walkscore.com, we launched a new commuting feature where you can type in your home address and a work address, and we give you a report that tells you how long does it take to walk, bike, drive, and bus to that address. And it also tells you how much your commute will cost. People really underestimate the amount of money and time that is lost forever when you're stuck in traffic. And so what we're trying to do is show you the cost of the commute in terms of money, the cost of the commute in terms of time, and we also want to start talking about the health benefits of having a shorter commute. Gallup just came out with a poll that said that people are 30% likely to be obese if their commute is longer than 90 minutes, and if their commute is less than 10 minutes, they're only 24% likely to be obese.
Okay, Matt Lerner, so tell me a little bit more about Transit Score, because I'm looking at this Union Square address in Somerville from one of our producers, and while it's got that great walk score of 88 out of 100, if I scroll down on the website here a little bit, I see the public transportation number is 57, so not so good.
Right. If you go to walkscore.com and look up an address in Boston, we now tell you the transit score of that address, which tells you how well that location is served by public transit. And this address in Somerville gets a 57, which is good transit, but it's not great because there is no nearby T stop. And, you know, being near the T is really what adds convenience and value to your house if you live in the Boston area.
Well, for the good of our producer who lives in Somerville, I do hope that Green Line extension eventually does happen. So that would boost her public transportation, her transit score, quite a bit. So Matt Lerner, let me tell you, overall, when you put all of these tools together and you have this new way of looking at mobility and what it takes to get around your neighborhood, what is it that you're really trying to help people do?
We want people to think about transportation options and how they affect their lifestyle. You know, would you like to be able to walk out your front door and get a cup of coffee? Is that important to you? And also how it affects your health and the environment. People in walkable neighborhoods tend to weigh 7 pounds less than people in less walkable neighborhoods. And that's because they're out walking. It's really simple. And then when it comes to the environment, we all know that driving alone in your car is not the most sustainable way to get around, and it's also not the most fun. It's really fun to be out on the street walking or riding your bike or taking transit and being able to see all the interesting things that are in your neighborhood.
So that brings me to this issue that I was wondering about. You know, there are a lot of websites out there that try to describe neighborhoods for people who are, say, in the real estate market. You know, Zillow's one of them. Now there's WalkScore that you have. Do you foresee, like, people making real estate decisions or having an impact on even real estate prices by being able to show people the walkability of their neighborhood or their potential neighborhood?
Absolutely. Not only do a lot of people want to be able to walk out their front door and go to a coffee shop, but CEOs for Cities, which is a great organization that does research on cities, did a study that showed that 1 point of walk score can be worth up to $3,000 in your house value. And so buying a home in a walkable neighborhood is not only convenient, but it's a great investment.
Well, Matt Lerner, Chief Technical Officer of WalkScore.com and also now of Transit Score and Commute Reports, thank you so much for taking the time to walk us through the website.
Thanks, and I hope all of your listeners will go to walkscore.com and look up their address.
Well, to discover your own walk score and learn more about Boston's most walkable neighborhoods, you can also visit our website, wbur.org/Boston. When we come back, a mystery in Lowell's Irish Acre.
Growing up here, you always heard the stories of the Irish laborers settling in the paddy camps. And whenever you said, well, where are they? Who were they? What were they doing? You never got a straight answer.
Until now, because after the break, we'll find out. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.